Right now on Earwolf, Harvey Gann joins the Spanish Aqui Presents crew to talk about recycling to pay for his first improv class and how he found out he would play Guillermo in What We Do in the Shadows. For more, follow at Earwolf on social media. Happy listening.
Hey everyone, this is Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made, and I just wanted to remind you that you can find all of How Did This Get Made's archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial of Stitcher Premium and access to a ton of great content, just go to stitcherpremium.com and use the code BONKERS. That's BONKERS, that's the code, for a one-month free trial of Stitcher Premium. Do it. Hey everybody, it's Paul and Amy from Unspooled.
We have a new exclusive Stitcher Premium series called Unspooled Screen Test.
That's right. It's a movie-themed game show where each contestant starts at the bottom of the Hollywood ladder, trying to work their way up to movie mogul with singing, acting, and improvisational challenges.
Our contestants never know what we're going to throw at them, and it is the perfect game show to listen and yell along to.
It's so much fun. And if it sounds good to you too, head to stitcher.com/premium and sign up with the code UNSPOOLED to hear episodes of Screen Test.
That's stitcher.com/premium, promo code UNSPOOLED.
Finally, a movie for all the people out there who always wanted to fuck a nutcracker. We saw A Very Nutty Christmas, so you know what that means. Now it's time for hello, people of virtual earth. Welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Tall John Scheer, and we are so excited to be with you. I know people are watching all around the world. We're so excited to be in your living room and celebrate the holidays with you. And we have a very big special movie for you today. We are going back to the world of Lifetime films. Oh, we love a Lifetime film. And we are exploring the Melissa Joan Hart film, A Very Nutty Christmas. Now, what do you need to know? Well, very simple. Melissa Joan Hart is a baker who is incredibly overworked. Although I have some questions about why this small bakery is... Anyway, we'll get into that. She's incredibly overworked and has a chance encounter with a German man who gives her a nutcracker who comes to life. She kind of falls in love with him. And then the holidays are brought together. I don't know. I don't want to spoil the end. I know you've already seen it, but I want to talk about it with my two amazing co-hosts, and they are chomping at the bit to get out here. Please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas.
What?
Welcome,
up, jerks.
It's that our holiday me. Show.
That was me moonwalking as an entrance. Consider me eligible for the Olympic breakdance team. I am in it to win it. I can moonwalk, I can pop, I can lock. So consider me available, United States breakdance team, for the Olympics. Happy holidays, Paul.
Happy holidays, Jason. And you know what? You bring up a very good point. A lot of people reached out to us this week for two big things. The number one reason why people reached out was because Kentucky Fried Chicken has produced a movie for Lifetime, and they really wanted us to talk about that. And perchance we will next week, so you just have to stay tuned. But the bigger reason that people reached out was because of this breakdancing. I mean, this is a big announcement for the Olympics. I mean, and June
huge
clearly
huge
has issues.
News.
News. People want June to maybe be a judge or not be a judge. I don't know, but maybe we'll bring her out here and see what she has to think. Everybody, please welcome Miss June Diane Raphael.
Hello. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, June.
Well, I do have a lot to say about it. I mean, I think that ultimately I'm more comfortable with breakdancing as a sport than an art.
This is a unexpected reveal.
That feels better to me that it's just considered physical and not aesthetic. You know, that it holds, it's not trying to make me feel anything.
But I'm assuming it's going to be judged the same way as gymnastics or something like that, or the gymnastics that have dance and stuff like that. They're going to be judged on grace and moves.
But here's the thing about gymnastics and even like the ribbon stuff and the ball and... Yes, there's moves in between, but what they are ultimately always judging on is the actual like tricks, like the flips and the athletics
call
of
them
it
tricks.
All.
Yeah,
sure.
Well,
same with ice skating.
Those are present in breakdancing.
That's what
well.
I'm saying. Like this actually I might see. Be a great fit.
Wow, Junior, okay. Getting pretty hot. You're getting hot on
Can
the
I
mic and hot for breakdancing.
Too loud? Too loud? Listen, I've chosen a bold lip and I need to live into it.
A lot of the comments are saying that, June, you look fantastic.
Well, thanks.
Oh, you know. Excuse me. I guess I look like fucking dog shit.
And what about me? My background, my hat. Guys, come on.
Oh, by the way, great hat.
Paul, I'm going to need you to take the hat and put it over your ears a little bit.
All right. Well, this is kind of the...
Much
this is
better.
You get.
Thank you.
Well, you know... We haven't had a guest on this show for quite some time because we've been in quarantine and we felt like it would be a little hard to navigate another voice here, but we couldn't let the holidays go by.
Boy, do we have a voice coming.
Holy cow.
Boy, oh boy. Set your levels, folks.
You guys are going to have to ride the volume bar on this
yes.
one.
Yes, get ready. Get your remotes out. Get your hand like hovering over that button and just because someone's about to arrive.
All right, well, here is the deal. We could not do a holiday movie. We could not do a Lifetime movie without, I think she is our fourth unofficial host. Please welcome Miss Jessica St. Clair.
Hello, everyone.
There she is.
Hey, there she is.
Ooh,
got the camera. I would like to
Jessica.
Explain to everybody why I'm wearing these gigantic headphones from the olden days. That's because Paul told me to buy them, and I thought the only way that you guys could hear me is if I had them on. It turns out that's not the case.
I'm always the first one to send Paul down the river, but I believe he was saying, get those cans for when you're recording a podcast, just for audio purposes. But the rest of us knew, like, we're on a live show. We're seen. Jessica,
do I have to wear these right now?
I don't think you do.
But don't you have something a little more
like cool?
I don't
little...
know where they are, and I didn't know what Google Chrome was. This whole thing is a shit show.
Oh my!
I mean, let's just be a little bit honest here, Jess, and just bring the whole
You're
reason
at an
why
undisclosed location.
I don't know where I am. I'm like at a Ramada Inn. I don't.
Are you at a Shelly Miscavige? Are you and Shelly in the hole here?
You're at a La Quinta.
Guys,
so I will tell you about La Quinta, first of all. Jessica St. Clair, I'm going to tell this story very quickly, Paul, and then we'll start. I'm so sorry.
I just want to say one thing, Jessica. The people in the comments love your cans. They say great cans.
Jessica looks great, and her cans always look great. But Jessica St. Clair organized a trip with the two of us and a couple of other girlfriends to a La Quinta in Palm Springs.
We had a good deal. We got a good deal in the dead of August.
And I want to say it was like August 19th. Now we arrived. I knew while I was driving there, like something's off. Now when I opened the door to get to the La Quinta, the heat assaulted me.
It was like burning flesh. It was like 110 degrees, so we couldn't really spend any time outdoors.
No. Can I ask a question? Was it a Bikram La Quinta?
A Bikquinta?
A Bikram Quinta?
It was terrible.
Curious, like, why did we get such a great deal? Well, turns out no one else wants to be in Palm Springs.
It's a desert location is what I realized.
It's a desert location and hot at any time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Go there in the winter. Whoa. You know, it was like John Wayne wasn't like going there in the summer. Now I know.
I am so excited that we are all here to talk about Nutty Christmas. This movie, Melissa Joan Hart, Barry Watson reuniting. They already were in another Lifetime movie called The Santa Con.
Oh, wait.
They played brother and sister. Got to put that on the list for next year. This is a Melissa Jones.
So this brother and sister?
This is trading off of their chemistry?
Look, this is a MJH-produced... this has got her written all over it. And boy, oh boy, I got questions, people. I got a lot of questions. First of all, my biggest question was, why did this look like it was shot with sports lighting? Like, you know, when you buy a TV and it like it's too bright. It's like this movie was shot.
It seemed like it had motion in Calabasas. It must have been shot in at a ranch somewhere.
Oh, see. Oh, I was
sunlight
like,
was so harsh.
I was
and
like,
they
this
only
is
had the
to
budget
me
for a couple snowflakes.
To me, this felt like Canada all the way.
Did it?
Am I wrong?
No, the sunlight was all California.
I believe it. I believe it was shot in Connecticut, but it was not shot in the middle of winter, because if you look in the background of shots, there is no snow, and then they're standing in snow. But I was going to say that this
was missed in Connecticut.
It's La Quinta in August in Palm Springs. You know what it looked like? The lighting looked like, you know when you drive past, like, workers who are paving roads at night and they have those giant lights.
Yeah.
That's what it
looked
like.
You know, it looked like those lights were shining in through every window.
Well, it looked like they were shooting scenes with work lights on, not the lights for the show.
It
felt like when you finish shooting a scene and they turn the work lights on for the stage and everything's lit.
And I never want to be seen in that lighting.
There was both problem and also sound-wise, there were tons of moments, tons of sequences where there was no score and very little sound to fill out the world. So felt hollow and weird. It felt like Melissa
John
Hart
was watching a director's cut.
We're watching the dailies. The dailies are coming in, and we're like, okay, great.
Before it's been mixed or anything like that.
Here's the other thing. She's the executive producer, right, of these films, and like I would think she has a budget for good highlights.
I knew you were going to open up this discussion.
The roots were down to here. It's like she can demand that, you know, her personal. She can have her personal makeup on there.
But then my assumption is that's a character choice where her character doesn't have the... Remember, she's basically, when she sees herself in the window, she's like, oh shit, I gotta do a makeover in one of the, I think, 16 music montages that are in this movie.
And by the way, the movie is about 82
minutes. This
movie,
if you took out all the montages, this movie is 11 minutes long. It is almost exclusively montage.
But let me ask you the question. Like, what is the central problem of this movie? Like, I understand what Scrooge's problem is. Like, he's a miserly old man who doesn't enjoy the holidays, doesn't really surround himself with people. She doesn't seem, like, she seems to be a successful business owner who maybe is a little bit OCD, a little, you know, like, she's got a little bit of that anal retentive nature to her. But she's
enjoying Christmas enough. That's her problem.
Yeah. To be fair, though, she's responsible for supplying cookies to the entire U.S. military.
And Navy. Yes. Army.
I used to think you could order cookies by the dozen. Turns out you can only ever order cookies by the thousands.
In increments of a thousand. And I'm assuming these are our tax dollars at work paying for Christmas cookies. Tens of thousands of Christmas cookies. This is a wild endeavor.
This is a fun in the military.
But this store is... It does not seem to be... it doesn't seem to be packed, but yet she has to make 1,000 cookies in 6 days. And I did the math. That is 2,500 cookies a day. And according to a piece of information that we hear later in the film, these cookies don't exist after 1 day. They go stale after 1 day. So she is, I mean,
and there's only three of them. There's only three people. I mean, this also, I don't know if you guys felt, Jesse,
and they're also working the
show, but this felt to me like echoes of Governor Gabby, where Gabby is like those kitchen scenes where she's baking up a storm and you're like, what is the business model here? You know,
this, by the way, also Lifetime has a fascination with like the female small business owner. And yes. Like they don't really get into the area of like a woman who wants to have a very successful, like nationwide brand. They are much more interested in like the small town, small business owner who's like a florist or owns an antique shop and owns like a cookie place and owns a bookstore. And in some ways, like I look at those women, I'm like, I'm jealous of their lack of ambition in a way. You know, I'm like, oh,
well, they also
to only want this small bakery that exists in this
town.
But
it's not that small, June.
Well, that's what's interesting. But then they set up these other complications for them, which is like this tiny bakery in this, I think, small town.
It's garbage bag curtains.
They set up the town as if it's like Stars Hollow from Gilmore Girls, like that's idyllic, right. Weirdo people, small, very small town. Like maybe the small town can support a small bakery, fine. But
great. But that the U.S. Navy would go to them. That's their go-to?
The Navy and the Army. And here's the other thing. There's a storefront. There's a storefront capability, and nobody, zero people pay for anything. There is no money exchange whatsoever.
The kids come in, they all get free cookies.
Like if Marcus Lemonis was called in to handle this bakery, he would be like, you have to charge money.
Well, I mean, they're giving away too many cookies. Well, but they are getting, maybe they can give them away, honestly, because they are getting such giant orders from the military.
Yes.
15,000. But why?
And
why
that was this competitive.
Small shop?
I don't know.
She gets a call that it was that the Navy is apparently competitive with the Army, so they just ordered 2,000 cookies.
Are they near a base or something?
It is Mystic, Connecticut. I believe there is, because I think that is where they shot it now. I think it is near a base. I think it is.
By the way,
there's a
big military through line in this because the Nutcracker himself is a soldier.
Oh, yeah. And the nephew is at the end of the movie, the actual real love interest who arrives, the Deus Ex Machina at the end of the movie, love interest is also in the military, Conchata Ferrell's nephew.
Oh my gosh. We have to really unpack that.
But I didn't really want to fuck that Nutcracker. You didn't want to fuck that nutcracker?
There's several nutcrackers, right? There's the actual nutcracker that you didn't want to fuck.
I mean the actual doll.
Listen, if I had a choice between fucking the nutcracker doll, Barry Watts of the Nutcracker, or that guy, the military guy, I would try to fuck that doll.
Can I ask a question?
Doesn't have a shortage of great looking men. What about Mario Lopez, hairless? I'm like, yes, I understand
He wasn't in the movie.
Joan
Hart is becoming my new trash can fire. The last time or whatever I was on, you guys made me watch that piece of shit where she's stuck in a house where everyone had diarrhea.
Right. Which is your life story 6 times a year, apparently.
After those roadside coconuts.
That movie where everybody on Christmas eats a lobster roll from an airplane.
I'll never get over that, Jessica.
When I was first dating Dan, my husband made me. I think I forced him. I was like, you never do anything for me. So he made me for Valentine's Day a seafood pasta. And it had clams in it. Uh-oh. And I went and was trying to furiously prize apart a clam.
And if you have to really pull it apart.
No, what are you talking about?
He said, don't do that. And I said, oh, no. The closed ones, they're the sweetest meat.
Yes.
Wow.
We went to see the movie Topsy Turvy. And I started to throw.
That's what we call a
You both are poisoning yourselves.
Yes. That's a classic.
You both
Jessica
are poisoning
Sinclair
yourselves. Yes.
Doubling down. She has to. She can't not. Doubling down and diarrhea be damned. Much.
The closed one. That's the sweetest meat.
By the way.
And that's the only tattoo you have, right?
Yep. Right.
And it's on, but it's on both sides of your butt cheek, which is odd. Like it looks like a clam. So
don't speak about her that way, Paul.
I don't think that was cool.
I felt bad.
Oh,
I felt bad.
Why would you talk about her butt cheeks like that?
Don't ever talk about my friend that way again.
Paul, just remember, you're already.
I'm out of here.
About my butt cheeks.
You're already operating from a deficit.
Butt cheeks out of your mouth. Okay.
Paul Scheer, butt cheek talker, potential poisoner. You are really digging a hole here, pal.
Really?
This quarantine's got me in a way.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, Sashir.
So we have a podcast called Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda.
Yes, we dang do.
Where we catch up, we Google things, we do online quizzes, we play MASH, you know, best friend stuff.
Yes, and we have learned a lot while making this podcast.
We learned how chickens and eggs work.
If a chicken lays an egg, yeah. What do you think the yolk is? It's like a chicken jizz. It's like the chicken juice.
No, it turns into a chicken. If you don't eat it,
you gotta cry. We learned that not everyone puts their bras on the same way.
It was really hard to put my bra on today.
Do you put your bra, do you latch it in the front and then twist
it
around?
Are you kidding? No. Does everyone do that?
We learned the difference between mayo and mayonnaise.
Wait, Kimmy, can you look up the difference between mayonnaise and mayo?
It's just short for mayonnaise.
Yeah. Oh, no!
And sometimes we even learn about each other.
Which you have strong feelings about.
I didn't know you were born in Japan!
Well, eventually
that
I told
you. That rocked my socks!
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda.
New episodes are out every Wednesday.
Boopity-boo!
But you know what I did like? What I did like about this, June, I know you talk about small business, but I like, you know, we're all actors, and this movie did appeal to that actor instinct where they did talk about how an actor's most coveted role is Santa Claus, much of Joan Hart's boyfriend. That this is the role that he's been waiting for a lifetime.
Yeah. They rip on actors a bunch, actually. Remember, she says, like, what does she say? Like, I could either make a living
or. She was in Summer Stock with him.
That's right.
And then, so she was in Summer Stock, which is, I think, where they met. And then she went into investment banking.
Because she wanted to make a living.
Right.
Yeah.
And then her boss.
Well, that's why she's doing all those Excel docs at night. She's up in those Excel docs, those cookie Excel docs. I mean, what kind of like accounting is she doing?
Well, no, I think she was, it wasn't cookie related. Her financial job wasn't cookie based. It was, she worked like,
oh, I'm saying. When she's up at night, Jason, at the house, she's still, even when the Nutcracker arrives.
I'm sorry, I get it now. Yeah, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Dealing with like calculations about the cookies. But when you look at the board.
People are really saying that she's doing cookie math.
She is, she's doing cookie math.
Let's talk about her cookie math.
Oh, this is like, it's a beautiful baking mind.
It really is. She has 15,000 cookies to make. If you look at the board. The little like whiteboard they have where they're checking the list twice. She, at one point for 15,000 cookies.
It's so many.
Says in her calculations for a recipe that she needs in her ingredients 10 dozen eggs.
Yeah.
Now,
that is
I'm not
enough.
But that is not seems enough. Like it's not nearly enough.
She To make the tens of thousands of cookies she's making, she would need an industrial kitchen with many more. And here's the other thing.
She would need to shift my theory. Whole factory. She would need to take over a pre-existing cookie factory.
I think she's being pranked because, you know, when she answers the phone, she's like, hello? Oh, hi, General. Do you think a general is calling the cookie store? Do you think the general?
We're going to invade.
We're
going to
in the army.
We're going to invade Afghanistan. We're going to order 15,000 cookies.
It's like boop 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 boop. Hello, delicious cookies or whatever the fuck you're called. I'd like to place an order. Absolutely not.
If only we had Rob Riggle here, he could help us answer this because he's very high up in the military.
I want to return for a second, Paul, to her hair.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So it's not somebody who's not putting effort in.
Okay. Well, this is the crazy thing. So first of all, she's obsessed with like hair nets. And when Santa comes in, she wants to put him in a hair net, but like nobody else is in a hair net. Okay.
Okay.
But
and she wants him to put a hair net over fake hair.
Fake hair.
which he essentially is wearing a hairnet.
Well, but if he were to get a cookie and there was a fake hair in it, I don't think you'd be any less upset.
Totally. I'm just going to say this too, and I don't want to get onto this in a bigger way. Her cookies suck. I looked at those cookies.
But they tell a story. But they tell a story.
Too fat.
But you would think the whole focus is, I mean, I love the Lifetime recipe, so to speak, of what a woman wants.
Yes.
They want food. They want sugar and spice and everything nice. They want to be listened to. The thing that the Nutcracker gives to her is he wants to hear her talk because no one else does.
Listen, Jessica, he is literally like a fuck doll come to life. He wants to listen to her stories.
And why? Why in these movies do they always want to be put to bed?
This is what I want to say.
Like a baby.
I want to disagree with one point you just made, June. He's not a fuck doll because she doesn't fuck him.
No, I was disappointed by that.
It is desexualized. Women's wants, everything you just said is true. It purports to be a relationship that is the kind of baseline of what a woman wants, but it is absolutely neutered to the point where I'm like, does this guy even have a dick?
But that's like, kind of like a life story.
Well, let's talk about that.
Real question. Yeah. Does this guy have a dick?
If you take the clothes off of a Nutcracker doll, not that I have. He doesn't have a dick. Hold on. Wait a second.
Jessica?
Sounds like you have.
Jessica.
He doesn't have a dick.
It definitely sounds like you've looked.
By the way, I did think that they set up something where she glues his arm back on. Can I ask one thing about
Paul, I just want to see, Jessica, when you've peeked, okay?
No peeking.
Does he have a, it's carved into the wooden joint. Okay, it's just a joint. It's not like a Ken doll where he's got like tidy whitey is like drawn.
No, there's not him. Like, you don't see the promise of something. It's just, and I would say this, if you are a doll that has come to life and you don't, and you look down and you go, uh-oh, you're going to have to work really hard to get a woman to like you because
when push
comes to shove, you're going to have to admit, I don't got anything down there.
Can you imagine going to someone's house and they have nutcrackers on their mantle, a family stockings hung and nutcrackers, and you peeked and it had a girthy, thick dick? You'd be like, what the fuck's happening right now? Well, this is crazy.
Do you think the reason why the Nutcracker loves to crack nuts is because he doesn't have nuts?
What?
Wow, if a tree falls in the forest.
I was really, as a deathly silence. I was going to say, like, why does this character wants to crack nuts? It's like he doesn't have his own nuts. Like, so he has some sort of...
So you think his drive is because he doesn't have nuts?
It's not that he wants to have nuts. It's that nuts are presented to him. So he's not like someone who's like, he's not like a vampire, like, oh, I got to crack those nuts or I can't.
Can I ask, he happens
to be around nuts.
Can I ask a question for real? In the Nutcracker, the ballet, which they call like a musical dance show or something in the program.
Just to very briefly comment
on that ballet. The ballet performance of the Nutcracker they show is like a professional level, enormous theater production. And
like
when
from
they
New
cut
York City, 1987.
Yes. When they cut to the audience, it is sparsely attended and a tiny theater. That made me laugh. But
I had a big issue with that theater because they were putting up ads the day it was. Okay, can we put this ad up in the window? It's tonight. Maybe it was the ballet. In that ballet, does he crack nuts?
Oh.
In the Nutcracker,
are you saying in the Nutcracker? He cracks a nut or two before he gets broken.
He does?
Yes. He cracks a couple nuts, and then the brother of the girl gets jealous and shatters.
See, I do rely on you, Jessica, for certain like traditional Christmas lore. Like I know
well,
your
of
father
course, I
would, reads
I was
night
put
before
in
Christmas
a, I
every
was
Christmas.
Put in a very scratchy turtleneck, not like the one you're wearing, and a kilt, and brought into the Nutcracker every single year at Lincoln Center. Of course, I was.
Okay,
this was the height of the 80s. My mom was in a fur coat. It was like, you know, we're having the time of our lives.
I mean, that is the Christmas tradition.
Yeah.
But I want to go back. I want to ask this question, though, because you guys are assuming he has no dick. And I would agree with you.
No way.
But yet,
no way.
But yet he has a backstory. Like, he has a, like, watch this clip. See what he says here. Clip number 6. Take a look.
Yeah, I see the resemblance.
This nutcracker is from China. I am from Germany.
Oh, we're in Germany.
In the small town of Siphon. My family owns a bakery there.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's why you're so good at my bakery.
Actually, I was a soldier. I was in the war in the Ore Mountains.
I might start keeping up with the news.
So,
I also need to talk about her dress for conservatively 4 hours.
What are these?
She tried on every dress, and that's what she settled on. We'll get to it, but just to please continue, Paul, to talk about whether or not he has a dick.
So I think that he is a man who has been cursed by that older nutcracker man. Like, he takes people and puts them in a wooden device as a torture trap.
Because, well, that's the horror movie.
No,
that's the, because look, it is the end of the fucking horror movie, and his eye blinks like clank, clank, clank. It's like
I'm telling you, trapped. You could. Yes, and also even just her waking up to a man in her house and then realizing it's not the house guest, like, this could have gone a very different way.
Yeah, well, that's my thought. My theory is that the Nutcracker is a man who has been cursed to live his life as a Nutcracker because he has a story. He fought in the war. He has a family. I feel like he is like that man who lived in that house, that Ghost of Christmas Past that we watched last year, where
that's what I want to know. So next year, Christmas season next year, is he going to come back to life?
Yes.
That's my assumption.
He came to give her the gift, and the gift is a not as good looking version.
So
of
now
him.
He just Messed lives out version, in a prison. Now yes, he just lives yes. in a prison for the
I
rest
think
of his
so.
Life.
And that's unfortunate because I did think hats off to a couple of the performers in this movie. Hats off to Barry Watson for playing the Nutcracker. I thought
and
he
committed,
did a great
a
job.
And committed.
I love Barry
did a great
committed.
Job. And giving me also, very big Joel McHale vibes.
I thought he was yes,
when he was cracking the nut.
I thought he was cracking the nut. Great job. Also,
that was
hats
Joel
off,
McHale, right?
Hats off to
I wanted him to put
Marissa,
it in his mouth.
Oh, Jarrett Whittaker, one of my closest.
Amazing.
Giving us and realness. Giving us moment to moment realness.
There were so many times, Jessica, I was like, God, why isn't she leading this movie? Because I want to watch that. She's just easy on screen.
Easy breezy.
I'm
easy
also going to, I also want to shout out Rizwan Manji. I also want to shout out Rizwan Manji from Schitt's Creek, who I thought was also
hilarious.
Was
wonderful.
Tremendous.
So there are some
everybody,
lovely performances in this movie.
Everyone brought it. Even and Melissa Joan Hart, my close friend, you know the story about Melissa Joan Hart and me, my close friend brought it.
Oh, no, not that one where you brought her to school or something.
I didn't bring her to school. I didn't bring her to school. A guy she
Somebody
was dating,
brought her to school.
Yeah, a guy she was dating school. Brought her to school as like a show and tell thing,
and you tried to get an autograph or something, and she told me to.
I got an autograph on my failing math test, and here it is.
Wow,
Clarissa.
There it is.
Like that she put Clarissa. Amazing.
I had to show up because I messed up my white balance. Yep.
Here's what's weird about Kate Holliday, the character she plays. So she...
Holliday.
Kate Holliday has always had a crush on the Nutcracker. Now, when I think of the Nutcracker, before seeing Barry Watson's portrayal, I've always thought of the Nutcracker as like an older gentleman.
Weird mustache, formal.
Yeah, just
a
like
little
an
bit nasty.
Older lad.
Yeah. Probably
she
packing
says,
tobacco
I've
in his lip.
I've always had a crush on him. I was like, what?
Weird.
My assumption, can I just jump in? My assumption is she's referencing like the male ballet dancer who represents the Nutcracker in the performance every
Jason,
year.
She looked at it. She looked at
she
him
look at that doll.
Longingly and said, I always had a crush on you.
You know what I always had a crush on? My fucking paunch doll. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh,
like,
I remember
when
that paunch doll.
Chips dolls, I was like, oh, fuck that. But not this wooden guy.
I demand that you produce
find that
Chips
and show
dolls.
Us a picture of that Chips
there is
doll.
Absolutely no way you had Chips dolls.
I 1000% had Chips dolls. Are you kidding me? Every Sunday night, I'd be like, are we done with the shrimp scampi? I gotta get to the chips.
Wait, you're eating, why are you eating so much seafood?
You've got to chill out on the seafood. What is happening? Are we done with this shrimp scampi? What on earth are you talking
guys,
about?
By the way, here's
doing
the
well.
You thought was sexy right there.
I had that doll. I wanted to fuck that doll so bad.
That's an aggressive hairline.
You're peeking in. You're peeking down to see what he's packing, but you do not give a shit about that nutcracker.
Oh no, you're right about that.
Peeking indeed. Wow. Wow.
That was unsettling. I didn't like that. I didn't like seeing that doll. And I didn't like the sexualization of the toy. But I thought it was, it was funny to me in the morning when he was just lying there on the floor and she stepped over him. That was like, I was like, okay, I'm kind of now on board for this. But she, the level to which she was blasé about a strange man in the exact same uniform as her nutcracker, in the exact same place as the nutcracker, made me feel like, oh, she's not able to take care of herself.
I want to talk about that scene
she's
because
she's not mentally sound.
She's somebody that would eat an offered lobster roll on a Delta in flight.
And just trust that, like, she's in first class, so it must be okay.
I
feel like it was Southwest.
Jessica, I will never forget that. And I am left. I'm left so unsettled. So unsettled by that decision making. But I'm also so curious about people who come downstairs or out of their bedroom fully dressed. Do you know what I mean? Like,
she was ready for the day. Like, she hasn't come down to have her cup of coffee yet. She's like, I'm going to get showered, dressed, and then come down and have my cup of coffee and then leave.
Oh, interesting.
You know that
I do that.
You get fully dressed and then you start your day. That's how I was
so that once I'm downstairs, I'm downstairs, baby. I'm living that downstairs life.
Whoa, Molly does it as well.
I don't need to go back upstairs. That's time wasting.
Wow.
I get out of bed, I shower, change, and then I
before coffee?
And I start my day.
Oh, don't get June. June is
before coffee.
I mean, June
He looks at his closet of 4,000 white shirts. He's like, it's the beginning of Pee Wee's Playhouse.
It doesn't take me long to do this. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a long process. I can be showered and dressed in 20 minutes. Then I'm downstairs. Right. Boom. My day is
Stop
on.
Bragging.
Wow.
June cannot move without a cup of coffee in her system, like immediately.
But
even
isn't
if
there something
it's
so
just to go out to have a cup
also,
of coffee.
Correct. But isn't it so wonderful to lounge around in like your... You know, to let the day kind of settle in. Like, I'm not so ready to let go of sleep. I'd like to still be in sleepwear. I'd like to have a coffee. I'd like to read the newspaper. Like, I'd like to settle in and then
okay, so then here's the caveat I will give, which is that you and I live very different lives because I will lounge around, but in bed because I don't have to get up. So if I lounge around emailing from bed or But once I exit the bed, I've chosen.
Do you have
to
a TV in your bedroom? Do you have a TV in your bedroom where you pop on the TV? Okay, so you won't
Not
pop on
all.
A TV there. Okay,
zero.
When does coffee happen?
I shower, I change, I go downstairs.
Before
boom,
coffee.
French press.
Wow.
Now, Jason, let me ask you this: so do you do the same thing? Like when you get all your when you win all your gifts at the auction, do you bring them up to your bedroom and put them on your bed? You're like, let me just get these up on my bed. I won't leave
nothing.
But
here's the. Let me be very clear. Nothing goes in my bedroom. Nothing. Nothing is brought into my bedroom.
Oh wow! No shoes.
Is that a fear of bed bugs?
That's a bed. That's a New York bed bug fear. Yes.
I'm telling you, he didn't let me sit down on anything for almost 2 years.
Yeah. No.
We weren't allowed to sit when we entered the ECB. Someone had the bed bugs, and we were not allowed to sit. We were not allowed to sit on wooden benches in the park or in the subway.
You're what? By the way, you're welcome.
Wait, you don't, we never bring like a glass of wine or a cup of coffee or anything
into the bedroom? No,
sure.
No.
The you only bring thing any, I will bring any beverages.
I'm sorry. Let me. I'll give a caveat to that. I will at the end of the day. I will bring up tea at night to go into bed. If I'm going to read in bed, I will bring up like a sleepy time tea.
Okay.
Okay. That's it, though.
If There's I had no a dick, it would be inverted by now from that description.
Wow.
If you had a dick, it would be inverted. Wait, let's chase down the logic of that. So in that, you have a dick, but this is so unsexy. Why don't you choose to be a woman who is turned off by
that? I will tell you, Jessica, I don't like a man who drinks tea.
Me neither.
Sorry, Jason. Wow. I don't want to see a man drinking tea.
Okay.
I want a man drinking a black cup of coffee.
June, but
you get angry at me when I drink a black cup of coffee. You're not going to put anything in it.
Too much
so
energy.
I'm sorry,
I
June.
I want to hear the word sleepy time.
Can I ask a question? So, June, you think hot beverages are gendered?
Yeah, coffee
is boys, tea is girls.
Me as a heterosexual woman, I'm sure, like, I don't think it's about gender necessarily, but I don't want to see my partner drinking tea.
Oh, interesting.
As a heterosexual woman, I don't want to see a man drinking tea.
Here's
Even
what
if
I'll
respect
say.
Respect yourself. I don't want to
Here's
see
what
him
I'll say.
Drinking it.
I am so comfortable in my sexuality that I will crush.
Okay.
Here, I'll show you.
Oh my gosh, you're going to make him drink tea on camera?
I'm not going to drink it.
Listen, I've done live shows with Jason. I've seen him drink a cup of tea before.
Oh, God.
Soothing caramel bedtime.
Wow.
Take an Ambien like a real man.
And I guarantee you, people in the chat are wet for this.
People are saying coffee is dogs, tea is cats.
Absolutely. And I'm a dog 100%. Person.
I'm not drinking coffee at night. This is coffee. I'm drinking coffee right now.
I have lost track of the show.
You shouldn't be drinking coffee right now. It's almost bedtime. It's
7:30. I have to drink coffee right now so that I can scream as loud as possible at you.
I got my iced tea. I'll tell you this much.
Tea?
Ooh. Iced tea. Different. It's a 50-50.
Now that's interesting. June, do you think iced tea is... Are you
totally
comfortable
different.
With a man? Okay, got it.
Totally different.
Mm-hmm. I just want to call out, because we haven't gotten to Melissa Joan Hart's hair, which I know, June, you've been willing to talk about a lot. But I also want to just talk about Melissa Joan Hart's acting. Because in that scene when she finds him on the ground, the amount of acting she does to get through that scene. Melissa Joan Hart has to do so much heavy lifting of realizing that this man is... not the person she thinks. And I want to just play a second of that clip of her finding him on the ground, because this is, you watch what she's doing.
It's funny. This is a funny scene. Also, her tree is funny.
I'm coming, Rosa.
Yeah.
What the heck? Hello? Mm-mm. Hello?
Good morning.
Nope. Oh, you're my house share guy. I wasn't expecting you until tomorrow, but I guess you found the key under the mat. Why were you sleeping on the floor?
I was tired.
And boom, she's off. And she's off to the races immediately. Bam, 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 bam.
He says I was tired, but later when she wakes up and he's already at the bakery, I had the impression that he doesn't need to sleep. Is he a magical being or is he a real man?
He has the energy of Elf, like Will Ferrell's Elf, but he also feels like he's been around for... Like, that's the thing. I don't understand what he is. Does he want love? Because he kind of writes her like a friend zone note at the end. He seems okay that he's leaving. He seems like he did fight. He was a real person. That's the friend zone note. But I feel like... I don't know what his energy is. Like, he's a child, but he's not a child.
He was just there to, like...
Help?
Awaken her vagina. Yeah.
Wait, do you think that she got him, that he got her wet?
Paul.
Yeah.
Yes. Paul, don't say that. That's
like, don't say that ever again, but yes.
You're so gross, Paul. You're so gross. It's so gross when you're so sexual. I don't like it.
Look, I drink coffee. I like to talk about wet pussies.
oh, my God. I do think so. And I was bummed that they didn't fuck. Like, that was, I think, a missed opportunity.
Shocking.
It was shocking.
When I at least thought we were going to see him, like, put her down onto the bed and then we fade to
Did they kiss? Did they even kiss?
They kissed.
No.
Yes, they did.
They kissed, but like a friendship kiss. They didn't kiss passionately.
Right.
She kisses him and then he says, can we do that again?
I kiss my friend that way.
It didn't seem overly romantic. He says, can we do that again? And they do it again. It's like this. They just pushed their lips together. There was no...
But after he just goes, catch you later or something. Like, catch up with you later. And then that's weird.
But I also felt like... Okay, go ahead.
I think women want that. I think that they think... Did women write this movie? Who wrote this movie?
This movie was written by a husband and wife.
Interesting. Because I think maybe they think, oh, we're going to tease it out. You know what I mean? We don't want to give it to them. Like, you know, we're going to do like a touch of the wrist and a glance across a crowded room.
But then the end
just seemed crazy.
The end should have been, he should have played the part. He should have been the soldier who came home then. I think because what they did was they gave you a soldier who came home who looked just like him. Like, look at this slide. Look at these two people next to each other. And it's so weird. It's like, if he would have played both parts, it would have been maybe more magical.
Should have been him.
Yeah. Like, take a look at this. This is like the two of them side by side here. This is, yeah. Like,
yeah. I agree. This to was, the right I is the better that version. This was confusing and made no sense. I think the same actor should have played both roles.
Yeah. It was
also
bizarre.
Because then she's like so in love with him, the Nutcracker, but then like a second later, she's like into this new guy. And then she's kind of like a Nutcracker whore.
We're supposed to basically what most of Joan Hart's character does is transfer all of the romantic energy of the movie built with this other man and pours it all onto a literal stranger
who
if
seem
I'm
cool.
that guy and I'm like, hi, how are you? And she comes at me so with so much momentum, I would be like, what is going on here? I would say to my aunt, you've set me up with a lunatic. Like, what is this?
I mean, he's also on furlough, which is not a term that I've ever heard in the military. Or maybe
yes,
I thought
no,
furlough was more of
it
a prison.
Is.
Oh, it is. Okay. I thought that was odd. I thought it was a prison term at
Germany?
First. Like, this
are
is not
we,
a good
do we still have forces there? Is that
also,
what is happening?
Also,
bring
why
our
is everybody
home.
From Germany? Why is everybody from Germany in this
I
movie? Like,
know,
and the guy
well, so he could actually meet with the. I'm more concerned about the guy, Richard Ryle, who gave her the thing. Like, he also found that guy and gave him a Nutcracker, which makes me go, did that guy have a similar experience with another male Nutcracker? And he was also prepped for this relationship at the end.
He
they
seemed
both have
evil too. If I at first thought, is that Santa? I thought he was the real Santa,
the Nutcracker merchant.
Yes. Yeah. At first I thought, is he Santa? And then I thought, oh no, is he, he's like, has like a devilish, like an evil look to him. But I don't know if it was just the mustache.
So you thought he's either Santa or he's like the guy that sells you a gremlin.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well,
right?
The movie
same
does
difference.
Dip into.
Same difference.
It's weird. Like, there are points in this movie where you think like, oh, we're now in a horror film. Like, it there are several moments that
wink,
dip you into
like every
a very
time it says the
territory.
Mouse King's
okay.
coming
yes.
for me. That's
so
yes.
when she gets the text that says your Airbnb guest has canceled due to illness, there should be a music sting that is like alerting her to the fact that a murderer has been in her house.
Yeah.
Like, that should be, that should turn the tide of the movie into, like, sleeping with the enemy or something like that. You know what I mean? Like you can't trust this person. Or, Melissa Joan Hart should immediately say, that is the Nutcracker brought to life. I need to check if he has a dick.
Yes. Agreed.
She should have walked in and said, show me your dick. Hey, you, show me your dick. What?
It's what's weird though. Is she upset with him? Like the scene where she puts it all together at the ballet or at the musical dance program, which is
well,
what
the Nutcracker.
Oh, you mean when they have like 2.5 minutes of flashbacks to act one?
Yes, and it's like the audience already knows this.
We're on board with
this. I'm watching this movie.
Yeah, I have to be here. So, but is she upset with him because he hasn't told her? Like, I couldn't quite.
I think she's upset that he's gonna leave, that he has to leave, and that he's a toy that is just she can't have him because he's a toy.
Okay,
and she doesn't want to see him anymore. Remember, when she goes, "It's too painful. Please leave my store." And he's like, "But the Mouse King's coming. I have to protect you."
Oof.
That's what a schizophrenic person says.
You know, like, he is, like, he is in many ways, should be considered at that point a mentally ill person.
From the very beginning.
Because here's the other thing. What's Conchita Farrell's name in this?
She
I can't remember her character's name. She's the Miss Patty of this world.
Yeah, totally.
She gives him a set of normal clothes. Not normal, but she gives him a set of clothes, more contemporary
her
than
nephews,
what he's wearing.
Right?
Yes, but what he never does is wear them. He continues to only
wear
that
one time.
That uniform. He wears it that one time when she gives it to him. But then after that, it doesn't matter. It's just he's only wearing the uniform.
I bet you anything that at the end of the day, Barry Watson's like, somebody take this hat from me. It's very heavy. I bet it like, you
Clara,
know,
thank you.
Yeah. It just really, I think that hat was probably something to really, really struggle
well,
with.
Well, I mean, when they put him in this outfit, this Dixie cup, like he looks like he's a Dixie cup. I mean, when you see this shirt that he's wearing, it looks like those like little cups that you get like, yeah, there it is. Like,
that's exactly he what literally, it is. How funny.
So he has a Dixie cup logo there, and that was Avril calling that out. That was so great. But the yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen him in that, but he's not comfortable in that. He is a soldier, and that's why he's able to actually man that store and run the whole thing. Like, he was able to run it like a military operation. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't like,
I couldn't
even
tell like what the problem of the movie was, because the problem seems to be that they have too many cookies to make. But then halfway through, like, he gets another order, and it's like, oh, great. It's like, no, not great.
No,
like,
not,
we
not
can't
only that,
fulfill
because
this.
Because of his hard work, though, they are a day ahead, so everybody gets the day off.
She's got a lot of downtime. Right. I mean, she's
there's
got
one day he makes 1,000 cookies in one morning and then is like, well, I think we're ahead of spit time, so now we can have a day off.
They're
and
not so
really.
They need to
if
make
they go stale.
A day.
Yeah. Right. So I couldn't figure any of that out. That didn't add up to me. I felt like that was faulty logic, but it allowed her to go on a shopping and makeover spree and have
which
like
was,
a 10-minute
by the
montage.
Way, the second reference to Sabrina in this entire thing, because she has a cookie named Sabrina, so after her cousin. So Melissa Joan Hart in this movie is related to Sabrina. Sabrina also is in Connecticut. Oh. So they're like Sabrina the Teenage Witch and this character share DNA. She might be a witch. And then that dressing montage is the exact dressing montage that was in the credits of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
How much do you think Melissa's making for these movies? Because is it like a porn where like porn star where like you shoot 100 but you make, you know, a good amount? You know what I mean? But you have to shoot
a ton.
Can
you
like,
can you walk through your porn math again? You shoot 100?
You shoot 100 what?
Movies, films in a year, and then you have a lot, but you're doing a lot of work for it. Is Melissa making? It's not like she can shoot one of these Lifetime movies a year and live on.
So that. Like, you think she's in like an old timey like Hollywood contract, like a studio contract?
Yes.
Like Lifetime has her under a lock and key. It's like another Christmas movie.
100%.
So you think Lifetime operates on a pornography model?
Well,
that doesn't
sound
right.
No, but I heard that they'll have like one ice skating rink. And so one movie shoots for 5 days and then they turn the angle and somebody else uses that for another Lifetime movie. I swear to God.
So I've heard that actually the Lifetime movies pay very well.
Okay.
And that you stay to Acton, that you stay in, I mean, you know, I love a luxury hotel. I didn't love a La Quinta, but I do love a luxury hotel, high-end hotel experience. And I have
that's
heard
a big thing with Jim.
That, yes, it's a very big deal for me.
Do you remember when you did my show? You found your way to a suite and were wrapped up in a hotel robe like seconds before she was expected on set.
Yeah. If I see a nice hotel, I'm going to enjoy all the amenities that are offered to me.
Wow.
So I have heard that Lifetime shoots most of their movies in Canada, but sets you up that they always put you in a Four Seasons.
Okay.
Now, I've kept that little piece of information in the back of my brain. And I'm just
saying, I wouldn't necessarily say no to it if the four of us were in a Lifetime movie.
I'm just saying.
Here's my
question.
Somebody
tried to write us a Christmas movie last
year. Oh, really?
100% yes.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Like a real person? Like a person or just like a joke? Like
a real person. It seemed like they were like, we wrote this for you. And then it was like, now can we go and pitch it and say that you guys are attached to it?
So if Lifetime... Here's what I'll say. If Lifetime wants to reach out to us, we will make a Christmas movie if we are allowed to control whether or not our characters have dicks or vaginas.
Fine.
We need to have input.
We want an unrated version of it, and we want a regular version of it. I think that's a fair thing to ask. And it should be as somebody says.
Our movie has sex scenes. Unlike these movies, our movies have sex scenes. Because guess what? Aspirational romantic movies should include sexual
Let's talk
congress.
About normal people. That was getting that, everyone hot under the old Colère, right?
The
Jessica Saint Colère?
I mean, that is true.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've received several texts from Jessica.
It is horny. It is horny and fantastic. Great. And it Wonderful. Is worth a wow. watch. But Woo! That's what I'm saying. Those kind of relationships should be, people in these movies should be fucking. Because if you're not, then you're aspiring to kind of cold, dead, non-sexual romance, which is, I would hope, not what people want. I don't know.
I mean, I think I'm just like
almost 48 and single, so maybe I'm the dummy.
I think that there's a sweetness.
Take another sip of tea, Jason.
This is Seriously, coffee.
Look at it.
This is coffee.
Doesn't matter. You showed us what you bring to bed at night.
So you think the reason... Killer. So I just want to be clear. You think the reason I'm still single is because I admit to drinking Listen, tea?
Wow.
I'd love for
We're
people
all doing
to,
a lot of soul searching during this quarantine.
I'd love for listeners to comment wherever you can. Please at anybody to explain whether or not that's the reason I am not married.
I respect a man who's like, after a hearty meal, gonna have some peppermint tea as a little digestive.
Hey, that's me.
Like, I understand. Yeah, that's Paul. That's the man I'm married
that's
to.
That's just the only reason Paul's doing that is because that's an add on to that meal.
Like
he's already doing it
because
he's like,
but
what
like
else
I
can
respect
I buy? Hey, you're going to bring that little box over to the table? Let me have a little bit more.
He's like fingering through that box to see what's available.
Please don't describe going through the box as fingering through.
Ooh, yeah, what
just,
do they got?
Just
what do they got?
Flipping through the box like it's a vagina.
But, you know, I don't think I'm alone. I mean, maybe everybody in the chat is... Okay, so the chat seems to love Jason and T. So great. But for me, it's not... I don't feel the same way. And, I'm not a tea drinker.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
So that's also a personal preference.
Well, what's interesting, I will say this. Coffee is dehydrating. The caffeine is dehydrating right. you sure. and tea is a way to continue to hydrate.
Listen, I'd love to hydrate myself, but I can't trust that all of my hydration bottles aren't poison.
Tea is an people want, you know, team Jason. I'm gonna tell you this, talking about this, like the sexuality of everything. I had a big issue online with a romance novelist, Victoria Denault, and I read one of her books about hockey, a hockey romance novel, and it was actually quite good. But the fucking in that book made me blush to a degree that I was surprised at. And I feel like, look, these romance novels, they go for it. And I think
private...
Like a VOD service, like
Lifetime.
Oh no, read yourself The Outlander if you want to see about some hard fucking.
Well, that's a TV series in which a modern woman time travels to introduce blowjobs into and olden days, right?
Well, he pile drives her pretty frequently in that movie, and
he pile drives her pretty frequently.
He does.
Wow. Maybe I need to watch Outlander.
Oh my gosh! Well, that was like whenever Edward James almost directed like those sexy episodes of Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar. Same,
yeah, he would get really too sexy for me. Let's go to what people think in the chat. I want to hear some questions
from
the chat.
Before we go to the chat, I just want to briefly touch on with everybody here how we all felt about the scene in which Melissa Joan Hart chugs eggnog from a half-gallon Pyrex measuring cup.
But by the
cup.
Way, it wasn't like liquor eggnog. Like eggnog by definition is not always liquor.
Thick nog. It was thick
And doesn't
nog.
That have to be refrigerated?
Yes!
I mean, it is just eggs and milk.
Now again, do they... Here's another thing I'll do. Something's left out, right? Do they refrigerate it in France? Probably not. Yes.
This is you're going to get sick if you don't refrigerate it.
They keep their milk on a shelf. They keep their eggs unrefrigerated. So I'll play fast and loose with that at times.
Wow.
Now, listen, I do think you're right about that, Jessica, that there, that in America, we're sort of like refrigerating shit. Yes, we're over sanitized.
Yes.
I mean, maybe not during this pandemic.
Let's also be clear.
Please tell people not to put their milk in the fridge. Yeah.
St. Clair's out here eating lobster rolls on airplanes. So
and prying open clams that should stay shut.
Maybe put your eggnog in the fridge is all I'm saying.
Put your eggnog in the people.
With the amount of diarrhea that St. Clair is comfortable with, I'm concerned with her opinions on this. By the way, looks great. You look great, babe.
You do. Oh, and if this is some sort of diet, then I need to know about it. I'm angry that you haven't told me.
You look
every 6 weeks, St. Clair is like, Dan, why don't you make a seafood
pasta? No more scallops in this house. He's like,
by the way, hold on.
You talk about poisoning. He's like, you're trying to poison me with these
scallops. I'm just realizing Jason, I'm just realizing, like, eggnog to you.
That must have been a hard scene, Jason.
It's like I honestly got hives watching the scene.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you have to hit an EpiPen after
I did. I have my EpiPen right here. I was like, fuck. When I saw the eggnog, I was like, fuck.
Listen, I love eggnog. Like my father used to make an eggnog that I feel amazing. Like so emotional about, because it reminds me of my dad, and then Paula started making it these past few Christmases without my dad. And it's been like a lovely tradition to pass along. But I don't go at that eggnog like I'm going to get fucked up right now.
You don't, I wouldn't think eggnog, I don't think of eggnog as like a comfort chug.
No, like you're literally have to ladle it from.
I know what is in an eggnog. I've never had it.
It's like, I just
I'd like to get you some of our eggnog.
I just got dumped. I guess I'll drink a bowl of batter, it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring some over to your house, Jess, and I'll leave it on your doorstep at night, and just don't drink it until about two or three in the afternoon.
Anything that Paul makes, like he makes it and I'll leave it in the kitchen. Like Bloody Marys, eggnog, and it looks so good. And he's like, taste this, like just try a little bit of it. And I'm like, oh my God, I need that right now. And then he's like, you can't have it for two more days.
Well, I like the Bloody Mary mix to marinate overnight. I feel like after 24 hours, it's really going to be good.
You, by the way, June, be careful. Paul might try and poison your nog.
I know that would be very painful.
Poison
you because you won't be able to really notice it because the nog is so thick and viscous.
Well, listen, it is a very we do make in our house a very strong eggnog.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But
for the holidays,
again,
we're gonna get into it this year.
I would never head there to just like escape my reality.
All right. Well, let's start popping in some of these questions because this show has been all over. So Roland says, is Chip aware of his origins? Like, does he know that he was previously inanimate? Was he cursed in the form of a nutcracker? All right, so here's a couple questions. This is a great question because when she asks him what his name is, he looks down at the cookie and goes, Chip. But yet he does have this story about being a soldier and having parents who own a bakery. So wouldn't he have a name like, you know, like a German name?
Yeah, I mean, like, why isn't his name?
And he has that tattoo that says "Made in Germany." Which seems kind of like a World War II situation.
Like, I felt like maybe there was also a swastika somewhere in
That's
there
great.
On his body.
That's, I'm glad you had that feeling. So did I.
I was worried. He was a little too German for my liking.
Yeah.
Well, he did
and
have that
I say
tattoo
that as
on
someone
the...
who's German.
You. I have that tattoo made in Germany on my back, on my neck, and it's a cool tattoo. It's, you know, it's for all my friends when I hang out with all my cool friends. We have, like, nightly meetings. Now we have to do it on Zoom. This movie, I believe that you could – I think that she should pass that nutcracker onto somebody else. Like, I wanted her to pass it to that woman with all those kids. I didn't understand why that woman had all those kids and what her story was, but I felt like she needed to be like, you need this more than me. And then we would know, that's the sequel.
Great.
Yeah.
That'd have been great.
It's like, a great vibrator where you're just like, yeah. But,
yeah.
But
it's like a wooden.
It's exactly
vibrator.
Like that. Yeah, that's what women want, a wooden vibrator.
By the way,
they missed splinters.
By the way, they didn't.
With harsh edges.
Don't you think they missed a big joke where she glues his arm back on? And then, like, when she has the flashback to 40 minutes before. She like remembers that like it would have been great if he showed his arm and it like had glue or something.
It had like I was anticipating his it would be unstitched, like his uniform would be unstitched or something.
Oh, yeah.
To signify the damage that had been done and repaired, but still not perfect. But no, they didn't do any of that. Wait, guys, can we talk about the dress? I mean,
briefly. Let's talk about the dress. Yes, please.
There were so many outfits that she tried on that looked so much better. So she looked as if she was trying to match his period uniform, his 18th century German soldier's uniform or whatever he is. She looked like she was trying to match that, not look like everybody else was wearing contemporary clothing. People weren't dressed up like in
ball. Now listen, but, June,
it wasn't a ball. It was an upstairs of a theater.
It was the lobby of a theater, and it was carpeted.
It was carpeted. That was upsetting.
That is savage.
There's like popcorn. We should play that dancing scene into the carpet. But here's the thing, too: a woman's shoulders. You're never going to find a woman's shoulders that aren't attractive. It's an attractive part of the body. Why would you put that strap? It's such a shame.
So you wanted the dress to just have like that, just the side.
Do that.
Tool, and then let it be.
I agree.
Let it be chest. Don't let it be this.
I agree completely.
Don't let it be this.
I was in the war. Yeah.
This was like Jessica McClintock prom look. And, you know, oh God, it was so confusing. Listen, I've never seen like a more basic white lady in a Lifetime movie. Like, this was to me the pinnacle of just like
it felt basicness. Very Midwest. It felt very Midwest, like Lifetime movie.
Wow.
I mean, no, not in a bad way. Like, it just felt like
you're going to hear from all those Midwest ladies.
She's hiding her arm, someone said in the chat, and yes, of course she is.
But
she should have cut off that first strap here and just done the side ones.
Oh, wait, you want just these?
I want just these.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Yeah. I would have gone the other way.
Of course. No, I want just these.
They're saying that they did her dirty with that cape. I actually think the cape was a nicer. Well, yeah, she did produce it.
She took it out of a vampire's costume from a costume shop.
It looked like a little red riding hood.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say.
Jason,
she got in that carriage, and that aunt seems to have helped her through many different. Where are we going, Jessica?
Guys, I'm so sorry, but it looks like my computer is going to die. Hold on, you keep talking.
Oh my god!
Couldn't be better.
This one doesn't have a plug either.
Don't worry, guys. Just don't worry.
Go ahead, June. You were. Go ahead.
Well, I just was wondering, that woman, that aunt.
Yeah.
Why couldn't she? She ended up being at the ball and seems to have like played a big part in her life. Like, why couldn't she have gotten a ride in the carriage?
Well, by the way, that to me was the scene that I wanted to see, which is like, see you there? Like, because it was like, by the way, how did Chip have any money? Chip is spending a lot of money willy-nilly.
He buys all of the, here's what I think. He's spending her money because he puts her name down on all, it's not Chip. He puts her name down. So she, at the end of that ball, somebody must have walked up to her and been like, you owe us $7,000. You know, or whatever. She got Kelly Clarkson
by Chip. This is what it is. He comes into her, pretends to like her, and then he uses all of her money on carriages and dumb things.
He has no money. He's a magical being. He has a wooden sword. He is like, he genuinely is it's as if a lunatic wandered into town and everybody was like, he's one of us. Like,
just
it's crazy.
He cracks nuts.
Oh my God.
Well,
when
people
love
that. That's
all
why
those
I went
nuts
viral.
With his hands. Next level.
I have a personal fascination with bad background. How High has some of the best bad background you'll ever see. That's the Method Man, Red Man movie. This is, I think it takes the cake, because the kids in this movie, they look like they're just waiting like animals for cues. They're like, you know, when Santa comes, they're like, Santa. Like there's no, they're almost
or
like
when it's
Sims.
It's the beat when It's the beat when the when whatever school is out and all the middle school kids rush into cookie store where they're all apparently once again given free cookies
free
as
stuff.
Many as they want, and they're so excited, like they're learning all the wrong lessons. You can't en masse crash a local business and demand free things, you know.
But by the way,
if the children of Stars Hollow burst into Taylor's,
started taking a bunch of
guess what? Taylor entries. Or Luke or whoever is going to be like, no, that's not how this is working.
Well, by the way, they also like try to like tease him like a British, like a beefeater soldier, like the ones that guard the Queen's Palace. Like they're like, move, are you gonna move? Like that's also not part of the Nutcracker, I don't think, the not moving.
Oh, do we need to talk about the Mouse King, the two mustachioed gentlemen?
All right, so throughout the whole movie, we hear that the Mouse King is coming, and the reveal is there is the Mouse King truck right there. Yeah, that is the Mouse King truck. It is, I mean, that is it. I mean, the Mouse King was true. He was a mover, I guess.
Wait, can you go back to the picture of her, Paul, on the cover, on the poster?
I want to see that girl. I want to see that gown. I think we have access to better things.
That's a movie I would watch. A movie in which Melissa Joan Hart in that dress fucks a life-size nutcracker.
I'm interested.
With a big wooden dick. A big vibrating wooden dick.
It's not come to life. It's wooden.
All right, let's take another question here. We got two more good questions.
It's like Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, man. The real Randolph Dresselmeyer. Why doesn't he speak German? Okay, why doesn't Chip speak German or even have a hint of a German accent? That's a really great question. He is German. Again, this movie is confused about what this nutcracker is. Because he has elf sensibilities, but he also is someone who's lived a life, but he's also German. Yeah, confusing.
But that gets back. I'm sorry to jump on you, but that's my same problem with Chip himself. Chip, once he comes to life, if we're meant to believe the story at the beginning that the merchant tells her, is that he was cursed and turned into a nutcracker, and this is the original nutcracker. He then comes back to life. He should be a German man whose name is like Klaus or Hans or Fritz or something.
PTSD from the war.
And he should speak German or English with a German accent. He should speak only German and or whatever. But none of that is the case. So he's just like a hunky American guy. And I just am like, or Canadian guy or whatever. I don't know what the actor is. But I was like, I don't understand what the deal is here. And I also don't understand like why he's just there to be of service. Like, it seems as though his whole thing is, I just want to be of service. And so much so that at dinner, she says, thank you. Oh, no. She says that to the nephew. Thank you for your service. It is really like the most desirable man is a man who is only of service, you know,
I'm going to say this. I love my wife. Wonderful person, and maybe I could be of more service to her. So I appreciate you.
There's, if Jessica Sinclair knows about anything, it's about love languages. And I know there's a couple
acts of service.
Love languages, and one of them is acts of service. Now, are you acts
Take
of service
out my garbage.
In terms of okay?
Wait, you're not acts of service, June, because I'm all acts of service.
I'm definitely not acts of service. Yeah, I'm physical touch.
I'm acts of service.
Yes, but
what are the other ones? Sorry.
Words of affirmation. Quality
I think that's
time.
Me.
Yeah. Words of affirmation.
And you like quality time too. You like nothing more than to do a cross.
I like quality time.
700 hours with somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. Not cool. me.
I just was
I'd
wondering. Thank
take
you.
Out your
Go
garbage.
Ahead.
Gifts.
So Jesse, you for acts of service.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and I'm that too.
Well, gifts, what's interesting
gift giving is a good one for me.
Well, gift giving or receiving. So, you can have a different love language, like your love. I mean, I've learned all of this from Jessica, but the love language you like to give someone is not necessarily the love language you like to receive.
But it's usually that. Yeah. Usually what you give out, you also like to receive. And why you have a lot of problems is I'm taking out your garbage to show you that you love me, but you just want me to sit and do a crossword puzzle and drink tea with you. Because your quality time. So what you have to do is learn what is your partner's love language Now, I did help a man who is the cashier at Barney's, the food Beanery? Place. Yeah, he was having a really terrible, terrible time with his wife. They've been married for 50 years. And I said, what's her, what is her love language? And he didn't realize it was that he was giving her acts of service, but she was quality time and words of affirmation. And so over the months, they've repaired.
That's
wow. I love that you really got in there. Let's get to our last question.
You really like to give acts of service, but I'm actually, that's not something I like to receive.
No, but you, but yet you appreciate an act of service.
I do, and I tip my hat to it, but I don't like it. Doesn't
it's
like
not
it.
Fueling I'm you. I'm still it's trying, not fueling but you.
It like it fuels me. I have to. I'm look. I'm trying very hard to always improve my husband game. You know, look, I'm learning. I'm trying. You know, and look, I got to figure it out. I'll figure it out eventually.
I mean, listen, Jason. The nicest thing you ever did for me as a friend is offered to take a dump in that guy's closet who stole all that money from me.
Also, the offer still stands.
That's an act of service.
I'm not joking. Offer. I was like, that is the nicest thing.
That's an act
thing.
Of service.
To be fair, this was before I knew that you had such a facility with having diarrhea. Had I known you could handle that yourself, I would never have offered. You know,
but it was It'd so readily available.
But I it's true. I did offer to do that, and am still sad you didn't take me up on it because that guy deserved it.
I am sad too because I never get that money back, and I really wish you had shit in that guy's closet.
No, we should have taken. I should have hidden two dumps in that guy's house.
Yeah.
One for him to find, and one for him to not find, and be like, "Why does it still smell like shit?"
By the way, this is a great question from Mike B. Why was Melissa Joan Hart complaining about cookies when Ginger was raising five kids by herself, running a dress store, and Ginger. Organizing every event? Ginger is the one that needs that
Ginger.
Doll.
Yes.
Ginger's a sequel. Ginger, get Ginger in that sequel.
Ginger is the hard... By the way, Ginger deserves to find true love.
Yes.
You know, she's out there fucking...
Ginger's a single mom? No, she's
yes.
not a single
she
mom.
She is.
Wow.
Joanna Howard.
She seemed to be at the ball alone. And honestly,
some of those kids seemed to be adopted. I felt like they were not all from the same family necessarily. And so look at what she's
careful,
doing.
Careful, Jessica.
What? Oh, no, I didn't.
Walk away. Walk away.
Wow. Wow.
Proceed.
We wow.
Careful,
Oh, my gosh. Well, obviously, we have opinions here. We have very strong opinions. But now it might be time for a second opinion. And here is a compilation of the best second opinion sent in by you, our listeners.
Jingle bells, this movie swell. So I gave it 5 stars on Amazon.
Second opinions on Amazon. Fa la 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 5 stars.
We made a little fun in second opinions time. We're not the only ones, it's second opinions time. But there are some peeps who disagreed. A cinematic masterpiece. This movie put them over the moon. They're probably mad at Jason Paul June. Baby, it's second opinions time.
Nice. Wow. That
Those
was
were great.
Great.
Was the first gentleman in the movie? Was he the
I don't think he was.
Santa boyfriend?
I don't think he okay. You think he was? Can we take a look at him? Let's
he
take a look.
He looked a lot
I
like
don't
him.
I think so.
Do
but
know,
you're right.
Do we know that Molly?
I
don't know.
He had that he had the hunky look.
Yeah.
He had the hunky look of that guy.
Well, all right, so there are 333 ratings, total ratings. They're checking right now to make sure to see if that's the guy. 333 positive ratings here. 64% are 5-star ratings. And I'm just going to jump in right now and say this. This is, the title is Odd But Intriguing and Heartwarming. Hmm. I've been super depressed this Christmas. But when I saw Melissa Joan Hart and Barry Watson in a Christmas movie, I decided to give it a chance. And I am so glad I did. I was a little disappointed when Chip had to leave. I was hoping she had somehow broken the curse and he could stay human. In that way, the movie reminded me of the Mannequin movie with Andrew McCarthy. But I love, if you're a Barry Watson fan and a romantic fan or a Christmas fan, this movie will not disappoint you. Sorry, I edited this review. I don't know how to delete the previous one. 5 stars. So that is this woman is saying, if you're a Melissa Joan Hart fan, if you're a Barry Watson fan, if you're a romance fan, if you're a Christmas fan, this movie will not disappoint you. So that is going to cover a lot of base. This one is called Nutty is a for the Sense of Humor and the Nutcracker Must Love Both. If you love cheesy, nonsensical movies, have a dry sense of a cracker, you will likely love this movie. I think it's meant to be satire. 5 stars.
Oh, I don't think so.
Is it satire? No, I don't think it's satire.
Maybe, though. Maybe it is a little tongue-in-cheek.
How?
By the way, we found out that the first... No. Yes, go ahead.
No.
They're commenting on stuff. By the way, I did say the one thing that I found disturbing, I was going to save this for the end, but I'll talk about it now, was that the couple that did get together, that was Rizwan and your friend Jessica, who were great, yes, in the film. They looked like they had like some hot and passionate sex, and they got in those very Christmassy pajamas.
Onesies.
They were like the Suki and Jackson of this story.
Exactly.
Because you know Suki and Jackson are fucking in Gilmore Girls.
In their vegetable patch. Yeah.
I mean, like total pound town. You know, like fucking pile driver.
All right, so we don't think it's a satire, but this one is another one from Snow Lover is the person's name. So we know that Snow Lover is going to like this one. Snow Lover writes,
This person is a cocaine fan. That's what that is.
Snow Lover writes, I like this one a lot, but I'm partial to Nutcrackers, so they won me over with that. 5 stars. So this person just likes Nutcrackers.
There are people who have an obsession with them.
I guess. I mean, I have my own dolls. We'll talk about that next week.
Growing up, they were like a big part of our Christmas decorations. And every year, a new Santa would bring a new Nutcracker dressed in
a different
outfit, a different accompaniment or whatever.
I hope people stay tuned for next week's episode because I can show you the dolls that we have in this house. We'll save it because we're running late.
I've seen them. They're like, they're going to murder you in your sleep. If someone's going to poison you, it's going to be those dolls.
We'll get into it next week. Daryl Brasseau writes, awesome movie. This was a gift. And the person said it was an awesome movie. 5 stars. So this person got on without even watching it, wrote a review off of the recommendation.
Had a couple eggnogs and then let it rip.
And then finally, Blues Chat writes, we love Melissa Joan Hart and her Christmas movies. They are almost as much fun as Sabrina. I say almost because no Sabrina, no Salem, no Hilda, no Zelda. I think a Christmas rom-com with Salem would be possum. Salem was the cat. I love Sabrina. My husband and I enjoy curling up on the couch in front of the fire and watching these funny, uplifting, romantic movies. They bring us joy and give us hope for the future. It's so nice to see good people doing good things. I pre-watched it when my husband was gone, and I went to go find it last night, and it disappeared from Amazon Prime. I hope it comes back. I really want to see this one again. 5 stars. So her and her husband did not have a Christmas miracle. They did not get to share it together.
I will piggyback on that and say, during this time of year, I also like just watching Christmas movies or holiday movies.
June and I have watched Christmas Chronicles,
I will always end up
too.
Watching The Family Stone or a Love Actually or
Scrooge.
Our friend Mary Holland co-wrote a great movie called Happiest Season, I think.
Happiest Season. It's so much. Oh, yeah. It's
terrific.
Great.
I just watched
Scrooge
it. Scrooge
is great. Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, the best vacation.
Die Hard.
June and I have watched Chris.
Home Alone.
Die Hard. Lethal Weapon 1.
Home Alone.
Home Alone is great. By the way, Home Alone 2, don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on Home Alone 2.
Also, the Christmas episodes of Gilmore Girls.
100%.
Some of the best.
Interesting. Like, I never think of Christmas. And this is, I think, maybe one of the fundamental problems I had with this movie is that I don't like to think of Christmas or my holidays aren't, I'm going to say this, magical. And what I mean by that is I love being with, I think the meaning of the holidays is to be with family, to be with loved ones, to sort of like align yourself with your value systems and to, you know, slow down and to be with the ones you love. And that is magical. But I don't like a holiday movie that is actually
what's it called? Miracle.
On 34th Street.
I'm actually okay if the magic has to do with like Santa.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? But
I get it.
You don't want like a special, like
this kind of movie, you mean?
Well,
like this Nutcracker
kind of
movie.
There was nothing about it actually that sparked the holiday spirit in me.
Okay. Got it. I agree.
You know, and I love a holiday
movie. You know why? Yeah. Because it's ultimately, and I think, and this is, you know, I don't want to blame the movie for this. I think in order to make a movie feel like it's a Christmas movie, you have to spend more money. Like you really have to.
When she goes out to her car to
really
clean it
really,
off,
you
there's
really
only
have
a
to have
tiny
snow.
Pile of snow.
You really
they
have
didn't
to
have
like.
Enough.
You got to spend more money. That this didn't feel. This was all interior.
Like I said, the
Gilmore Girls always had enough snow. They always
of course,
had enough snow.
Of course.
Well, by the way, I think they
the
were,
Paladinos are spending that snow money, baby.
Maisel,
by the way,
so
I heard there's a lot
snow.
Of coughing on those sets. That's a sad truth about Gilmore.
What do you mean?
There's a lot of
because
coughing.
Of COVID.
There was a lot of like, ooh, that snow? Fake snow gets in your can get
oh,
into
yeah.
your lungs.
Well, I will tell you this much: they did make fun of the fake snow because that was a town that was covered in real snow, but yet they did have a fake snow machine, which I felt like they're like, just put the camera on the fake snow machine too, because it's like let's embrace it. We can't pull it off because that ice skating rink was also not ice; that was like plastic.
As far as I'm concerned, Alan Rickman, my queen Emma Thompson, their storyline of Love Actually. Incredible. Also, Joni Mitchell. Also, Joni Mitchell. It's like
also,
my three favorite people.
Guys, yes. Lethal Weapon 1 is a Christmas movie. No one wants to talk about it, but that
never
is a movie
seen
that
it.
Takes.
I don't mind.
I'm going to say,
mind
you know
that.
My favorite. You know my favorite Christmas movie, and I know it's
June,
not
I
off
like
watch.
I don't like
but
it.
But Mixed Nuts.
I don't like it.
What is Mixed Nuts?
It's Robert Downey
guys,
Jr., right?
No, it's Adam Sandler and Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
And
what am I thinking of?
It is Rita Wilson and Adam Sandler and Madeline Kahn doing something that is so fucking great alone in an elevator with children's toys. It is so good. Okay. It's a Nora
I'm
Ephron,
absolutely
like, clearly,
check it out.
It's so great. It's clearly
it's
like, written
Ephron
as a play.
It's a Nora Ephron movie, yeah.
Clearly written as a play. And I mean, it all takes place in one apartment, but it is so good.
It's the cast is unbelievable.
Yes.
I'm going to watch that.
Great.
And it especially living in Los Angeles, it is an LA Christmas movie, and you feel that.
I call When Harry Met Sally almost? Remember that Christmas but she's pulling the Christmas tree? That's when
there's elements to it, but it's not a Christmas
movie. A season
goes by.
It's
a great movie, but that's
I love
not
Harry
a Christmas
Met Sally.
Movie.
All right.
I think we really kind
Harry.
Of hit all of our...
You call it Harry,
I think we
Harry
Met Sally?
Met
Sally? It's when...
I think we, when
you're not like,
when
what watch
listen I agree with Paul HMS is one of my absolute faves.
Harry
like
Sally.
I was watching
Harry
HMS
Sally.
The other night. Ooh,
I love Harry Sally. Harry Sally is one of my favorites. I will say this, we really had a lot to say about this movie, and it was so much fun, and I can't wait to do this again with you next week. I hope a lot of you have bought tickets for next week as well. But before we get out of here for the night, Jason, June, Jessica, what do you want to tell people that they should do, watch, see, whatever? What do you want to tell them?
I mean, I want to send everybody over to Mixed Nuts this holiday season.
You I'm going to watch it. This.
Yeah, Paul, I believe you can get it on...
You can get anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, anywhere movies are sold. And it's just a delightful Christmas movie.
I love that. And I will say, June, is that NARS Red Square lipstick? Does that sound familiar to you?
No, it doesn't. Okay, I'll find it out.
What's the eyeliner? What's the eyeliner and what's the mascara?
Great questions. The eyeliner is Kat Von D tattoo liner.
Okay.
I can't go wrong. There was such a great Instagram. I think this picture went viral where this woman was wearing the Kat Von D like tattoo eyeliner and got into a car crash and took a selfie of took a selfie of herself like from the hospital like completely bandaged up but her cat eye stayed on perfectly.
And
it ended up being like the Kat Von D campaign for this season.
Well, hopefully she's okay.
I hope she's okay.
Jess, what do you want to talk about?
You know, I don't got much going on besides trying to teach new math.
Shout out to
first grade math. I don't
Yikes.
Understand it.
Hard.
And
hard.
Also don't know how to teach someone how to read. So if anybody has those tips, you can DM me.
Are you teaching cookie math?
Oh, that, you know what? Cookie math makes about as much sense as the new math I'm trying to teach my first grader. Not interested.
And just a quick other shout out real quick, Paul, to everyone who's listening, and a special shout out to all the Janes from the Jane Club who came to this live show. And also, if you're thinking about what to get your mothers, sisters, husbands, friends, nannies, male person for the holiday season, I would consider a Jane Club membership and a Jane Club gift certificate. We also, if you order by Monday, can send a special gift package with a really beautiful journal and pen that will arrive by December 25th. So head to janeclub.com for that.
Because I have to tell you, my happiest thing in the morning is when I get that Jane Club email, because we all feel very, very disconnected. Yeah. And it provides a sense of community that we crave, you know, even though we are trapped in the prison that is our homes, working for free for people that don't appreciate us.
To jump on that, I will say thank you to everybody who is a frontline worker. Everybody who's out in the hospitals and who's out in the
streets. Especially here in Los Angeles right now. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It is all over this country. We are seeing surges in this virus that are shocking and terrifying. So thank you to everybody who is out there processing all of this absolutely harrowing, all of these harrowing situations. So thank you to all of those people. And
Big Mouth.
Well, that was really.
Sorry,
hard, it's hard, Jason, to talk about my eyeliner and lipstick and then be followed up.
I am feeling bad. I'm sorry. And
peddle a product of mine and then.
Sorry, let me peddle some products too.
Yeah, please.
Let me peddle some products too. Big Mouth Season 4 is out now. Watch it. There's so much funny stuff in it. Lola and Jay this season, guys, it's real. It's happening. Get on board. And I also want to say I watched an incredible comedy special the other night. Natalie Palmides did an incredible special on Netflix called Nate.
Yes.
It's called Nate and it's fucking incredible. Everybody, it's when you turn this off, turn that
watch Nate.
On.
Right.
It's on Netflix. It's called Nate and it's absolutely incredible. So watch that. And then guys, it's the Christmas season. So listen to Joni Mitchell's The River. Because it's the best Christmas song in the biz.
I need to have a little sidebar about Joni Mitchell.
Okay.
Sure, happily.
And just right what's now? Going on. Yeah, well, maybe not right now. But,
well, right now she's releasing old stuff from her archive. If you want to go to Joni Mitchell's website, she's releasing archival material that is...
So is Rivers Cuomo right now. You can listen to all of his stuff. It's pretty cool. I will just quickly jump in and give you three quick plugs. One, which is I actually wrote my own Christmas story, a DC Christmas story.
Wow.
A Harley Quinn Christmas story. So you can check that out. That's on newsstands now. And then or comic book stores. And then I also switched my company, and I have a Marvel documentary on Disney Plus right now called Lost and Found. It's under the Marvel 616 documentary series. It's episode 4. But finally,
it's so good.
Oh, thanks, Jeannie. I want to give a shout out to all the people who help us here on the show. And Molly, who has been amazing in our chat, she's just awesome. We love Molly. But I also want to give a shout out to Devin, our engineer, who's traveled the country with us, and he's amazing. Devin has an album out on Bandcamp called The Beginner's Guide to Birds. It's a 52-track charity box set of songs that he wrote and recorded from 2003 to 2018. And it's available for $15, and all that money goes to Girls Rock Chicago, She Rock in Minnesota, Camp Rock, all these nonprofits that support girls, women, trans, and non-binary musicians with equipment and resources and opportunities to make their own music. And you can get
That's so cool.
It's awesome. And by the way, it's great. I've been listening to it nonstop. Painkillerthepigeon.com. So painkillerthepigeon.bandcamp.com. You can pay 15, you can pay more, but I love what Devin is doing there. A big thank you to Avril Halley for picking this movie. A big thank you for Nate Kiley for doing all the research. A big thank you to the ghost of Craig T. Nelson, who does our amazing designs that you've seen online. And Kyle Waldron.
Speaking of the Family Stone.
Oh, yeah, right there he is. Kyle
Everyone
Waldron.
Everyone has to watch that movie. Not enough people have seen that movie.
We love Kyle, who took over for Leanne Waldron. And remember, and a big Kyle and Matt, who are running the show behind the scenes here at On Location. We love them. They make it so easy for us.
Can I say one thing, Paul?
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing? That although this movie did not put me in the holiday spirit, this show and seeing I of course, Paul, I see you all the time, but seeing my dear friend Jessica and her amazing face, I'm so happy to see you, Jess, and Jason, I'm so happy to see you. And this, I really am so happy to see you, and I hope you start getting the kettle ready for your sleepy time tea. Mm. And
get it inverted and you'll hear it.
And just Cody and Molly and Devin, I just am so grateful to have this show and to have this moment to all spend time together. This has and put I me in the say, Christmas spirit for sure.
I and love I'm excited that, and, by and, the way. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say thank you. Oh, I'm excited to do it again next week.
Me too.
I am yes. too thank with the same crew. We are so excited to have you. I guess the question I didn't ask was, would you recommend this movie? 100% yes for me. I love my experience here. Everyone across the board?
Literally, what did you say? It's like 70 minutes long. It is not. It doesn't. It's fine.
Weird act.
It's totally fine. Yeah. Like a thick nog.
We'll be back. We'll be back next week. Make sure that you look for, I think it's called A Spicy Romance, which is the Lifetime Mario Lopez Kentucky Fried Chicken movie, because we will be talking about that as well. Jessica St. Clair sent that to me, and we're going to tackle it. We will see you all next week. Remember to rate and review the show. And if you want to talk more about this, just give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We could not do this show without you. We love that you are here. We love that you're spending our Fridays with us, wherever you are around the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And have a great, great night. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, all of you. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.